Es ist der erste Podcast auf Englisch. So this is the first podcast walk and talk in English because usually I do it in German. But I do have an international guest from Sweden today. Hugo Hugemark, is this how you pronounce your last name?
Hugemark is actually
Hugemark, how you use it. Really, yeah, like yeah, it definitely. International. And he is really one of the best high rocks athletes in the world. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Because I really want to know what this sport is about. I did two training sessions with him because we are in Spain on beautiful Fuerteventura at La Playitas. And you got even sponsored by at La Playitas, right?
That's
correct. You stay here for the whole winter?
Yeah, that's correct. So to start with, yeah, I have my base here now on Playitas. So I am obviously, as you said, the high rocks coach here at the resort. But my full-time occupation is obviously to be an athlete as well. So that's like the base or the core business of what I do. Then it's also coaching and obviously a lot of racing as well.
And you did a race today.
Yes.
In a town close by. How did it go out and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, it was quite spontaneous. They have quite a lot of local running events on this island and also in the nearby village Gran Tarajal. So we said, yeah, why not go there? It's a great atmosphere and I finished second in this running race, off-road running race. So it was super fun, obviously. No expectations. It was just really good community and nice to race a little bit.
Because usually you never got second, right? You're always first usually.
No, I don't know that. I have a few podiums back there as well, right? Yeah.
So, but a run like today, is that for you then a training session inside of a competition? Or what is your approach when you do a competition like this?
This, I would actually say, today was more of a bonus training session, obviously, because I'm going to race next weekend, so that's obviously the goal. But it was also nice to get a little bit away from the resort and a little bit different atmosphere, and to also get a good training session. Having the goal was not to win or to maybe even push myself to limit, but to have a good training session.
So when you say next week you're going to have a competition, what's that about? Is that high rocks or is it running?
That's high rocks. So it's my first race for this season since World Championships in Chicago. That was in June. So it's been a couple of months now, many weeks of training. So this will be the first season race of high rocks on the next weekend in Verona.
Oh, okay. So you go to Italy. And how is really the competition these days? Because, I mean, high rocks to me is still quite new. When did it really start? How long does this sport exist?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a lot of people from Germany who thinks it's a new sport and have never heard of it, but actually it started 2017 in Germany. So it's not that new of a sport, but in many countries it's still like a very new trend, but it's again today the world's largest fitness competition of its kind, obviously, and it has more than 500,000 athletes per season, and they're aiming for almost 1 million this coming season. So it's a very big event, but for many people it's still new, but it's growing rapidly, and it's very big in UK, and it's very big in, I would say, Southern and Southern Eastern Europe even, and it's growing in America and also in Australia rapidly and Asia. So yeah, it's a global sport now.
How did you get introduced to that sport? And maybe we can walk, because this podcast is called Walk and Talk, so we should at least feel also this beautiful atmosphere at this nice resort here. We are right at the beach, have some palm trees, sun is just setting, it's a Saturday evening. So how did you really get into high rocks?
So, I mean, it was not like straight line into high rocks. I've done obviously other sports before. I in high school I played handball in up to Division One, so I was from a young age very very active in the sport high school, and I did a lot of training. And then I was into triathlon for almost 3 years, mostly on the short distance circuit. So it means sprint distance and Olympic distance, a 1 to 2 hour duration of racing, but also half and full Ironman eventually. Then so that was a full-time commitment for almost 3 years. So that's where I set more of my, in training perspective, more of my aerobic base, which I have a good benefit of nowadays as well. But then when COVID hit and the races got cancelled, I started to do a little bit different types of training. I didn't really feel, I couldn't really find my identity really in triathlon, because I'm so much more than just an endurance athlete. So I've obviously had a lot of other training besides endurance training throughout the years, because I still, I'm a quite big guy and a powerful athlete, so I have a lot of all the qualities that I couldn't like seize the potential of in high rocks, or sorry, in triathlon. But it was actually less than 2 years ago I first did my first
less
Hyrox
than 2
race.
Years ago.
Yeah, less than 2 years ago. And yeah, I had no specific preparation. Of course, I realized quite quick, and when I saw this advertising December 2023 in Stockholm, where I lived then, that the race was. And I signed up a few weeks before, and I felt, yeah, I have to try, obviously, because yeah, it's running and it's some functional stations. It should suit me quite well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was, I mean, it was no top performance. I think I finished like 15 in the men pro field at that time. And I mean, that's a good result for me the first race. Mm-hmm. But then after that race, I obviously started to commit to this sport and to become one of the better athletes in the world, obviously. And there, it's where I am today.
So just in 2 years, that's really impressive and amazing. But maybe not everybody knows how a competition in Hyrox looks like. Could you describe really what Hyrox is about?
Yeah, so Hyrox is a sort of lighter version of CrossFit movements combined with middle distance running. Most of people, they know CrossFit. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of more technical and maybe even gymnastic moves and so on. But in Hyrox, it's 8 different stations, but they are quite simple, that in the sense that you don't need so much practice and skill to do the movements, right? Okay. And before each station is 1 kilometer of running. Okay. And there is 8 different functional stations. And the difference from Hyrox and many other hybrid races or CrossFit races is that the race format is always the same. So you always know what to expect on the race, and you also know what to train against, right? Mm-hmm. Which makes it very measurable. Anywhere you go in the world, it's the same setup, the same standards, so it's very measurable.
Also the same machines, because I just did here with you this rowing and the Nordic.
Exactly.
So it's always the same brand of the machines everywhere in the world.
Standardized, yes.
So what of these 8 different activities is your specialty? What is the one? Or you have to be perfect really in every kind?
Yeah, to be on top, you need to be really good at all of them. Yeah, of course. And you need to have really good aerobic capacity and also running capability, because running is half the event, right? Yes. It's 8 kilometers, so it's approximately 50% of functional training and 50% running. But I have an advantage on just the machines, like the ski and the rower concept 2 machines, because I've done a lot of training on them.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the sleds is also one of my strengths, because I'm quite powerful and big athlete with a lot of weight behind. So that's quite beneficial for me as well.
And that's really fascinating to me when I look at you and your quadriceps, that you are so big and still so quick in running. I mean, do you have an explanation for that?
I wouldn't say explanation is that I've obviously worked with the qualities for many, many years. And I think it takes a lot of time to build that speed with so much power output that I need to hold for like a race or running. But it's always a balance when training for Hyrox, because obviously the lighter you are in general, the more advantage you will have for the running, right? And many of my competitors, they are far lighter, talking like 10, 15, maybe 20 kilograms lighter. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely also a benefit to be heavier and have more weight behind you on the stations, right? Yeah. So it's a trade-off, but for me, I have, in the context of Hyrox, I have quite much mass on my body, right?
Mm-hmm. Which, so how much do you weigh?
Yeah, currently it's about 91 kilograms.
Okay.
So that's a lot to carry around, obviously. I've been heavier, but I've also been a little bit lighter. But I think it's like still a quite good sweet spot. Because again, I'm really competitive on stations and my running paces start to come up very nicely.
Yeah.
But I also consume quite a lot of energy. So it's a balance, but I also think in terms of health and so on, I'm still quite lean guy. I don't have, if I'm going to reduce my weight, I need to take from my muscles, and it also comes with less power, right? So it's a trade-off.
But you can really feel it when you take off of your muscles, that you do run faster, but you're not as strong anymore on the machine, so you feel the effect right away.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's quite obvious if you have done it before and try to do it in shorter period of times. I think it's quite linear how this works together, so for sure. So yeah, I can be a little bit lighter, run a little bit faster, and then I will be a little bit slower on the stations, you know, so it's a little bit strategy.
Yeah, well, but because you're one of the top athletes, or the top athlete in the world right now, are you number one ranked, or
no, far from, not far from, but I mean, they have currently like now a ranking system. When I did my fastest time was in Malaga in the beginning of this year, and at that time It was, I think, one of the 16 fastest athletes in the world.
Okay.
And but now for the ranking system, it's like your two best times across the last year where you end up on the ranking.
Okay.
So I'm not completely sure where I'm at right now, but I'm hoping to do a really fast time the coming weekends, obviously. So I will be able to qualify for the World Championships.
So, and where is the World Championship gonna happen?
In Stockholm.
In Stockholm.
In Stockholm.
So you have a home run there.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. So that's quite exciting.
So how big is really High Rocks in Sweden? Is it right now, because also of you, one of the capitals in the world?
Yeah, I mean, it is quite extensive, obviously. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's as big as in maybe in Germany or UK, but for sure it has grown very rapidly.
Yeah.
So we checked it the other day. I think like the first event they had was in the beginning of 2020. It was like 1,000 participants, and it's almost been doubling every year. So now, last time it was almost 8,000, which is a rapid growth.
That's sweet. Because now we walk here close to the beach and the ocean. When you do train, when you run, can you still enjoy also the scenery, the landscape? Or are you really focused in what you're doing?
I mean, Playitas is amazing, and Fuerteventura in general. I think I get a lot of value from the atmosphere and the landscape and the
warmth and the
energy. Yeah, but I really appreciate it. Of course, to be at Playitas comes with a lot of practical benefits as well.
Yeah.
But yes, I really appreciate and I value like the atmosphere and the scenery we have here, walking and running next to the beach, you know, and obviously the sun and so on. That's very valuable and it's very rare, and I'm truly appreciated for it as well.
I would like to go back a little bit really in your childhood when you really started sports. You said you were very good in handball, but what was the first sport you did? Now we can decide, turn around or do we do some uphill?
We can go double around.
I think it's more easy for you as well.
Yeah, so I came from a very active family. I was born and raised on a farm in the middle of Sweden. So with that said, I've always been very active as a person or as a child or as a kid on the farm or with animals or whatever it might be and involved in this kind of work task that comes with living on a farm, right?
Yeah.
So that's like where it started, my active approach, I think. But I mean, the first sports I was committed to was, I think, obviously like football and floorball was like what was very natural for me to start doing
as a team sport. What is floorball?
Oh, floorball, maybe you don't have it. It's very big in Sweden, and Sweden is like the top nation, I think, international. But it's like ice hockey, but indoor.
Yeah, sure. But on roller skates then?
No. Okay, you run. Exactly.
Okay, yeah, we just say hockey probably, but maybe, it's different. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was like the first sports I got into, the team sports, and then also obviously handball in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, also where I went to ground or low, the first grades in the school, we had quite active education. So we have tried a lot of sports in the school, like athletics, we had skiing, like outdoor life and hiking and all this stuff. So it was all very active from the start.
And when did you find out that you really have a talent for endurance? How old were you?
You know, I when I was like in mid school and I was it 13, 14 years old, I realized how much training I could do and how how motivated I was to train myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So from a very young age then, and also when I went to sports high school, how I had absurd amounts of training just from pure motivation and joy from movement and trying out different ways to compete and race.
Mm-hmm.
And also it led me into the handball. But from that age, it was almost absurd. And a lot of people was concerned about me because I was so much. I could do 4 or 5 training sessions a day just keeping on going, you know, and I was so happy and I felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, I also didn't have any injuries or whatever, so I just keep on going. So that's where like it started, my joy for it, but also like my drive and my motivation with it.
So you never really needed a trainer or someone from the outside who motivated you?
No, not really. Not in that sense. Of course, my parents, they were very committed and engaged in everything I did, But for them, it was more like trying to hold me back a little bit, mm-hmm. right? You know this, mm-hmm. More than trying to push me out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from the very start, it came a lot from inside. And I, of course, had a lot of interactions with good trainers and coaches who gave me perspective and knowledge and like how to navigate through everything I wanted to try and accomplish, of course. But the drive has still been very from myself.
Wow. I'm very interested in really the mental part of training of people who want to become better. So when you say nobody from the outside had to push you somehow, what is happening in the inside of you that you really can go further than anybody else?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think the more I have grown as a person and athlete throughout the years, I've been reflecting more and more on it, mm-hmm. because from the start it was a no-brainer, because it was just like a fire burning all the time to do things, mm-hmm. right? And I also had a question not far ago, like what's my idols are or my sports, yes. what I look up to, and I don't really have any. It's never been like my perspective to have like these external factors to find the inner drive, you know. For me, it's something that has to come from inside, mm-hmm. if it's going to be sustainable and if it's going to be, yeah, something that you're truly passionate about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you never had a mental trainer or anybody who really gave you some advice if you feel, maybe you do sometimes also feel tired or not motivated? Do you have anything what someone gave you from the outside?
I think it was like a topic in the education on the sport high school, mm-hmm. but there was nothing like I was interested in, because I did misunderstand me correctly, but I didn't have any need for it. I felt like I have everything I need mentally, and I'm happy and I'm drived. I have mm-hmm. this burning fire within me. What am I going to use this for? Mm-hmm. But in other contexts, yes, like more emotional side of things, mm-hmm. and support, and of course in tailwind and headwind, you need to navigate through a lot of emotions, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, has been maybe one part that I have developed later years, how to maybe in one way step away from the training, like mm-hmm. emotionally and mentally as well, to get that mental recovery, I think, is important. Mm-hmm. But also being able to like really feel and confirm the success to yourself, you know, and not always be in the next race already, right?
And how do you really, well, recover mentally? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's so complicated. I mean, I do stuff that has nothing to do with training, right? Mm-hmm. It's very uncomplicated, because I'm also, as an athlete, it's also very important to be a master of how to relax or chill as well, you know, and just totally connect things. And I can do that very well as well. I can, go to another city here or whatever, or mm-hmm. be on the beach, and I can eat something good, you know, and just be disconnected from mm-hmm, mm-hmm. my regular reality.
But how long is that period? I mean, a day, 2 hours?
Probably more like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe an afternoon when the training is done, you know. Yeah.
So you really train every day?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't have any I didn't have any training free day for almost 5 years now.
Wow.
And that's, with that said, it doesn't mean that I train hard every day, mm-hmm. but I have days when I have more like recovery days, mm-hmm. and then I train less or low intense. Mm. But I activity every day, mm-hmm. And that's super important for me from emotional and health standpoint, I think, as well, and also from recovery standpoint, it's very important to keep on moving a little bit, mm-hmm. Even during recovery days. And also I have a very good base of a lot of training throughout the years, so for me it's very natural to be moving. And also said, throughout my childhood, it's a very natural part of my identity or how I feel.
I actually haven't asked you how old are you.
29. Yeah, 29.
So, and since when can you really live from your sports, being an athlete? I mean, I think Instagram, social media, all that stuff helps you to, well, get a big audience and people who follow you, and maybe just come here to Playitas just to meet you.
That's correct. That's a very relevant question. And also, as a triathlete, I was very committed. Of course, I had side side business, I wouldn't say. Maybe worked part-time now and then, you know, when I had some coaching a little bit on the side. But I would say, like, since I got to here Triple Eight, that's over the last 2 years. With the Hyrox is probably when it, like, yeah, I can fully focus on what I want to do as an athlete. And then, of course, I think it's also very important to have these other obligations as well, within and without the sport, like coaching or whatever. But yeah, as you said, I mean, Hyrox as a sport and as a, from a marketing perspective, is very powerful. There is a lot of athletes, there is a lot of business potential if you want to seize it. And it also comes with a lot of attention in good performances, but also, as you say, being a part of a larger community, being an inspiration for many people, which is, I'm very grateful for, because I know that I'm, with amongst with many others, are able to contribute to a little bit larger picture. It's not just about me and, like, that I necessarily need to be a good athlete. I think it's also a lot of value in educating people and motivating people and, like, communicating with the community, be a part of them, and try to give as much value as possible. So it's not like I have the drive to be seen and to be as Hyrox star. That's not like my approach. But the community is obviously a byproduct of what I have accomplished, because people see the grit and the training and the and commitment to it, and that resonates very well with people. And that's the larger picture, and that's so much more important for me as well than being best in the world in Hyrox.
Maybe you can really give our listeners and viewers some really advice. First of all, do you drink alcohol?
This is an interesting question. I didn't have one drink in my life.
No way.
No, that's correct. Yeah, I think that's very rare. I never heard anyone saying those words. So I think when I was a kid, I probably had a sip at some point. But in my, as far as I can remember, I didn't have one drink in my life with alcohol.
Wow. Okay. So do you think this is really one reason why you are more successful than others?
Not necessarily. I think, like, those kind of, let's call it, activities can have a good value for people who needs to disconnect from this bubble that I live in constantly. But I also think, I mean, talking about alcohol, it's also the cause of many bad things in the world or in general in, or in health, but in larger amounts specifically. But I wouldn't say that. I mean, from when I grew up and when in, like, high school more, then I was definitely step ahead of everyone else because I didn't have this other commitment or need or to pay attention to.
How does really a usual training day for you look like? And maybe give some athletes who, I mean, of course, not as active as you are, but what is a good thing to do for everybody? But maybe start with your training days. How do they look like?
Yeah, so that's all, as you say, it's important. I mean, I don't recommend anyone to train or do what I do, really, right? In a maybe smaller amount and a scaled version, but not, like, entirely, obviously. That's not relevant. But yeah, for me, I somewhere train around 20 to 25 hours a week, sometimes up to 30. Okay. I've also done a few 40-hour trainings a week to push the limits a little bit. But in general, I have 6 running sessions, so Monday through Saturday usually, and those are all around, I would say, race pace for me in Hyrox, like if we're talking specifically like 330, 340 pace on the running. So a lot of time, like, in this.
So three kilometers.
Yeah, through, around that pace, around, a little bit slower, a little bit faster, around my race pace, around some sort of threshold effort, as you call it. So that I have 6 times a week, and it's usually 60 to 70 kilometers of running. And then I always try to have at least 2 sessions, low intense, in the gym, pure bodybuilding or strength training, working with the base lift and also some accessory work. Then I spend a lot of time on these row and ski machines, as we discussed earlier. So I probably spend, what can it be, 8 to 10 hours on those machines a week with quite many kilometers. So it's probably 4 sessions, sometimes 5. And more than that, I maybe have 1 or 2, or probably 2 more, little bit more functional training, more like Hyrox specific, or I do work with the sleds and so on, and the station that's in Hyrox in general then. And then I try to do some other activities on my recovery days, not always, but I love to swim in the Olympic pool here under the sun. That's a great recovery activity. Sometimes we take a bike ride.
Because this has nothing to do with really your competitions.
No,
this
correct.
Is then strength, but it's recovery.
Yeah, okay. exactly. Mm. So that's a training week for me. So it's normally, nowadays, it's 2 sessions a day. But before I used to have 3 or 4 sessions a day. So I maybe changed my strategy a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's usually up to 15 training sessions per week.
Wow. Okay, so I'm 54.
Yeah.
I love to do sports, but what would you recommend to me? I think we can turn around here now and go backwards. Otherwise,
yeah, no problem. Okay.
But what would you recommend to anybody? What should everybody really do? Of course, concerning how you feel, but what would you recommend from maybe also these 8 activities if you just can choose one?
Talking like the HYROX stations, I mean, I wouldn't choose one exercise necessarily. Yeah. I think, let's say, HYROX stations, we have both more cardiovascular work and more like muscular work.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one sort of functional station is, of course, both for your conditioning and for your muscle, right?
Yeah.
But like from a general structural week, I would say that everyone should have one hard cardiovascular effort.
Okay.
Whatever, if it's ski, bike, row, or run, or hiking, or whatever. Like one cardiovascular, I mean, harder effort, so you get the heart rate up quite high. If we do a 10 scale, it's like 7,
how,
8, maybe 9.
How high
nine.
Does your actually heart rate still go up? How high can you push it?
197 is my max heart rate.
197, yeah. Okay.
And that's relative. I mean, that's very individual, I would say. So but I think that's very healthy.
Do you reach that high rate in a competition? Do you really go up on 190?
Yeah, for sure. So in a HYROX, my highest average heart rate is about 185 over 1 hour.
Wow.
And then top over 190 in the end usually, mm-hmm. or on the mid station. Mm-hmm. So that's a very high effort, obviously. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a university or a team of doctors. Was they already interested in you and your body to really measure everything, to do some scientific, research on you?
Yeah, I had a lot of those requests, yeah. And I've done a lot of testing on myself as well throughout the years. But it's also an interesting topic because, as I said, I've done a lot of testing on myself. It's lactate, it's blood glucose, it's core body temperature, it's heart rate, mm-hmm. it's VO2 max and all these other factors. Yeah. But also now, the more mature and the more experienced I get as an athlete, the more important I always think it is to go for your feeling by the day.
Yeah.
It's so important. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have all these measurements.
Yeah.
I mean, how you're feeling and your perception of your effort, it will always be the best measurement of your training intensity.
Yeah, but I think it's also good and you need experience, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So for some people who have no experience, if they just stop whenever they don't feel good, I think that's
great.
It's great. Really don't.
It comes with the more you train as well, obviously, yes.
Yeah. Okay, another big thing for everybody is, of course, what to eat and what not to eat. So any advice from you?
I think my diet or food philosophy is very, I would say, very much common sense, which means my diet in general and also what I recommend is to have a very, let's call it, clean based diet, mm-hmm. based on natural foods,
mm-hmm.
Not processed. I mean, if you're really generalizing it, I mean everything with a package slip on that says ingredients, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat it, right?
Okay.
No, but very, very clean based diet. A lot mm-hmm. of meat, mm-hmm. Chicken, fish, and potatoes, and rice, and mm-hmm. a lot of eggs as well mm-hmm. in the base diet. And that's why I build like my health on. That's how I see it. I fill up with my health in my base diet.
Mm-hmm.
But then throughout the training, I also need to add up with a lot of, let's say, performance enhancing nutrition.
Okay.
Like, of course, sugar
mm-hmm.
a lot mm-hmm. During long training sessions.
Yeah.
And that can be massive amounts.
But when you talk about sugar, you're not talking about soft drinks or anything like that? Or, I mean, then it's pure sugar or what is it?
That what I refer to then around the training is, I mean, pure sport nutrition.
Yeah.
So, fast carbohydrates, obviously, definitely. So gels, you know, I'm working with a company called Vitargo. They have it's not sugar, but it's like a different carbohydrate molecule that's very fastly absorbed in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, energy for the training, you know.
Yeah.
But I never eat candy.
Yeah.
I very seldom eat even the certs, even if I have it served every day, three times a day if I want. And I can do it sometimes, but it's more of a like relaxation part and to like loosen the stress a little bit. But yeah, very few of that stuff, because if I eat 300 grams of carbohydrates through a training session, 3 hours on the ski erg, yeah, I don't need any more sugar that day, you know. I'm full of sugar already.
But bananas, oranges, fresh fruits.
Of course.
Always comes.
I definitely believe in carbohydrates for performance, definitely. But for me, it's so much more important to have it around the training where you need it, right? And to not stop thinking about your health levels.
Well, I think we almost made our round at La Playitas at the beach. And what is really something what you would like to, well, spread in the world? What is maybe really your message to what you would like to really spread out?
I by accident, I would say, I mean, Get to Work is my... Now more my international brand, but it started like, not necessarily a slogan for anything, but a way I communicated with my community throughout my channels, like this Get to Work expression. And I resonated, it resonated very effectively, very quickly with a lot of people. So that became a little bit more of like my mantra, what I'm saying. But it's not just about training, and that's something, I mean, it's a lot of in training context for me when I express it, but it's so much bigger as an expression and as meaning for me, because these three words, Get to Work, I see it as the bridge from emotion to motion, whatever it is, right? Even if it's studies, it's a relationship, if it's work, occupation, it's just like to try to find the fire and the drive to try to move forward and accomplish what you really want to accomplish, right? So that's like something I tell myself many times, but also I know that many people resonate with. So the Get to Work is something that's become very important for me as a person and also for a lot of people around me.
Last question, what is your goal in life?
Wow, that's a big question. You know, I think I will die happy if I know that I have a good, really good influence on a lot of people to make them, it's connected to the Get to Work, to have a good influence on a large amount of people, to make good decisions in their life and to be able to take a step towards their goals. That's probably my goal and something that I would say I would feel satisfied if I know that I've accomplished.
Well, I just can tell you inspired me to really go to the High Rocks class here at La Playitas. It really was a pleasure to be one of your students and really first time student. And I love really endurance sport, and that's really something what I will keep on doing. So thank you very much for everything, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
So cool.
Thank you.
Yes, Hugo at Walk and Talk. Yes.
Wow. What a chat, huh? That was very interesting.